Love If You Miss It. Written by Hold Up Trout. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom Wheel of Time TV. Relationship Moiraine Demadred / Swan Sanche. Rating General Audiences. No archive warning supply. Moiraine fingered her great serpent ring as she walked through the quarters of the Accepted in the White Tower, Saman by her side as usual. Neither was in a particularly talkative mood, however, having just finished their 20th grueling day as Accepted, and Moiraine was exhausted and lost in her own thoughts. She had a half-hearted idea of planning for tomorrow, but what she was really doing was thinking how grateful she was that she and Swan had been raised on the same day. They spent hours together figuring out how to manage the novices they were suddenly teaching. They strategized about how to pursue the studies they needed. They commiserated about how they had thought being accepted would be different. But those weren't really why Moiraine was so thankful. She had no doubt that she would have adjusted to her new freedoms and duties and as an accepted on her own. But she would have missed Swan. Even if it had only been for a few months, or even weeks. Now that she had seen what the gulf between novice and accepted was like, she couldn't imagine standing on the other side from Swan. Swan brushed her shoulder, and Moiraine looked at her, receiving a grin in return. "At least we don't have to help in the kitchens anymore," Swan said in a low voice. Moiraine didn't laugh, but her amusement must have reached her tired eyes. She hadn't worked in the kitchen much after it became clear she was hopeless at all but the most basic tasks. Swan always seemed to know what to say to shift her perspective. Being accepted might come with hours of more study each day, but it also meant more freedom and fewer menial chores. They reached the well that housed the accepted. It was late and many of the doors were closed, but a few hung open. They had just passed one of these, Katerin's room, when they heard a strong, loud voice say, "Don't worry, Katerin. You know more than some of the other accepted already." Swan didn't seem to notice, but Moiraine stiffened. That deep, smug voice belonged to Edme, one of the accepted who had always been especially harsh towards the novices. She also seemed to still regard Swan and herself as beneath her. She was clearly pitching her voice so they would hear, and her next comment was audible as well. "It's a miracle that some of the others were allowed to test at all, considering how little time they've been here." Swan and Moiraine exchanged a look. Swan rolled her eyes. They couldn't hear Katerin's response, which was probably for the best, as Edme replied with a smug tone, "Oh, yes, you're much more independent than anyone clinging to an immature relationship." Moiraine frowned as Swan stiffened. "Pillow friends is one thing, but..." A loud clatter broke Moiraine's concentration on the other girl's conversation. "Sorry," Swan said, picking up a stack of books that had somehow fallen out of her arms. Moiraine felt her frown deepen. Swan wasn't clumsy, except maybe on a horse. "Let's go to my room and study," she said, and Moiraine followed, confused. She and Swan weren't pillow friends. She blushed at the thought. But even if they were, she knew of at least two other pairs of accepted who were, and no one thought twice about it. Still, she didn't miss hearing the half-strangled laughter from the open door behind them, and the memory of it left her unsettled as she drifted to sleep that night. Her uneasiness proved to be founded. Over the next few weeks, it seemed like every accepted made some kind of comment about her and Swan. "I don't understand why it's anyone's business in the first place," Swan grumbled. Alana, who was studying with them that night in Moiraine's room, raised a finger. "We're all desperate for gossip in this place," she said. And it probably doesn't help that any time it's brought up, you glower like that, and Moiraine blushes like... She gestured at Moiraine, who was a bright red at that very moment. I can't help blushing, Moiraine protested. Besides, it's not even true. Alana's eyebrows shot up, and she exchanged a look with Swan that Moiraine couldn't read at all. Finally, Swan sighed. You're right. We just need to stop reacting, and they'll get bored and move on to something else. After that, Swan ignored the comments, and Moiraine did her best, although she never did quite manage to stop her blushes. Despite this, however, the comments did not stop. If anything, they grew more pointed. It was difficult for Moiraine, who felt that the whole thing was inexplicable. Some things were private. Swan had apparently decided that the whole thing wasn't worth mentioning at all, even to her. This might have been fine if she had been truly unbothered, but Moiraine could see her tense up sometimes, and she started sleeping in her own room more often, creating a distance that Moiraine found worrying. Worse still was that Alana had started to tease them, too, in a way that made it seem like she was in on a joke. Moiraine didn't find it funny, and she could tell Swan didn't either. Moiraine tried to bring it up again. They'd had Alana studying with them, and she'd made 3 separate comments about them, clearly trying to get one or both of them to react. After she'd gone to her room for the night, Swan had started gathering her own things almost as soon as the door was closed behind her. Alana doesn't mean anything by it. Of course not, Swan said in a brisk, no-nonsense tone. You don't have to go. I'm tired, Moiraine. That surprised her. Swan never admitted to being tired. But she did sound weary. Moiraine let her leave without another word. Moiraine spent the night awake and unsettled. Perhaps, she thought, Swan was completely certain about their friendship and thus wasn't bothered in the slightest by the comments. This was logical, reasonable, but Moiraine knew it wasn't true. She would have to address it the next time it happened. But then it didn't happen, as if everyone in the tower had finally decided to mind their own business. It should have been a relief, but sometimes Moiraine would go to lean against Swan, only to find her moving somewhere else. Sometimes they'd be lying down, Moiraine's head in Swan's lap, and Swan would fidget before getting up for a cup of tea or another book. Worst yet, Swan began to pull away in other ways. One morning, Moiraine left her room to find Swan already walking down the hall to breakfast without her. She was just turning around the bend. It was such a departure from their routine that she didn't even move to catch up, standing with her hand on the doorknob until Ashlyn came out of her room. Waiting for someone? She said, giving Swan's closed door a look. Moiraine shook herself into action. Not today, she said calmly. Her nonchalance didn't seem to fool Ashlyn. Her lips quirked into something that hinted at amusement. Moiraine ignored this and exited the dormitory, Ashlyn at her side. At breakfast, Ashlyn went to sit at a table with Catherine and Edmé. Moiraine saw Swan sitting with Alana, who motioned her over. As she sat down, Swan looked up and greeted her with a warm smile and a quiet, Orisa Sedai requested my presence early today. Moiraine felt more than a little relief at that explanation. That warm smile. Maybe she was second-guessing where she had no reason to. Swan finished eating and stood. As she left the dining hall, she passed by the table with Ashlyn, who was murmuring something in Edmé's ear. Edmé looked up at Swan and said, I suppose the open-eyed innocence lost its appeal after all. It was a clumsy comment, but Swan tensed and Edmé smirked. Beside Moiraine, Alana groaned quietly. Moiraine placed her hands on the table, her body ready to defend, to attack, but Alana put a hand on her arm, the touch enough to allow her mind to override her temper. She settled back into her seat, ignoring the sly eye that Ashlyn cast her way. She willed Swan to ignore them. Swan had always had her temper under control, and now was not the time for her to lose it. Swan hesitated, then turned her head to look at Moiraine, who looked back impassively. Swan's lips didn't move, but Moiraine could feel her smile before she turned back toward the door. Without a word, without another glance at Edmé or the others at her table, Swan left. Moiraine picked up her spoon and ate her breakfast. Whatever had been going on with Swan, it was over now, she was sure. That night, Swan came to her room to study. She seemed fine. Lighter than she had in a while. They were nested into separate piles of blankets on Moiraine's bed. Moiraine was trying to absorb a little more information about the exports of Lugard, and Swan was practicing some little weaves, flicking them in and out of completion as quickly as she could. Moiraine was drowsy. Despite the blankets, there was a chill in the room, the fire having died some hours ago. She scooted closer to Swan and opened her blankets, tugging at Swan's, intending to merge them into one warmer cocoon. She was surprised when Swan jerked away, shocked when she practically leaped off the bed. "What was that?" Moiraine asked. For the first time in a long, long time, Swan looked uncertain, hesitating before saying, "Nothing." She was lying to her. Moiraine was certain her face reflected her shock. Even worse, she knew she'd been wrong this morning to think whatever had gone wrong between them was over. As the thought occurred to her, as she met Swan's eyes and saw the misery in them, she knew to her bones that this morning had been about the others, the gossip, the comments. Tonight was about them. Swan looked about two heartbeats away from fleeing. Moiraine hurriedly divested herself from the tangle of blankets, stepping between Swan and the door. She reached out, desperate. "Swan, whatever they say, it doesn't matter." "I know that," Swan said fiercely. And Moiraine had known that already, known that she was still two steps behind. "Okay, then why?" Moiraine trailed off, a reason for Swan's unease finally occurring to her. Her stomach sank still further at the thought that such a reason would make perfect sense. She swallowed, throat dry. "Is there someone you like?" she asked, her voice coming out a near whisper. "Someone I like," Swan said, staring at her as if she'd grown a second head. "Did they hear something about us? Because anyone who cares what anyone else says about us isn't worth looking at twice," Moiraine said, growing hot now with anger that was covering up something else, something that continued to twist her insides. Swan was shaking her head now, but she didn't seem ready to knock Moiraine out of her way to escape either. Moiraine tried to swallow again. Her throat was still dry, and she was having trouble telling herself she was fine. That Swan wanting someone else was fine. That she just needed to make Swan understand that so they could go back to being as close as they'd always been. She knew there was a flaw in her reasoning somewhere, but this was no time to be methodical. "You mentioned Malind the other day, or Katerin?" Her voice was tight. Too high. She struggled to remember other girls Swan talked about. Right now, she could barely remember any of the other accepted, and the ones she could, she hated. She hated them all. Hated that they might take her place with Swan. That they might start studying together, or talking about which Aja they'd choose. She felt herself getting more wound up, shoulders tense, and her hands were clenched. In contrast, Swan was regaining her usual relaxed poise. She looked almost amused as she said, Malind only moons after warders, and you know I can't stand Catarin. Oh, Moiraine said, hearing the audible relief in her voice. Swan tilted her head and grinned. Moiraine's back hit the closed door, and it was only then she realized Swan had been slowly advancing, ever since Moiraine mentioned Catarin. She kept coming now, until she was crowding into Moiraine's space, until she put a hand on either side of her, trapping her against the wood door. Moiraine flushed from head to toe. They'd been closer, slept closer together, but this felt different. She looked into Swan's eyes, and her flush deepened, her heart racing wildly. It was different. Swan took one hand off the door and tucked Moiraine's hair behind her ear, then traced the outer edge of her ear with a fingertip. Moiraine shivered. There is someone I like, Swan said, but despite this confirmation, Moiraine didn't feel the same dread she had earlier. Not when Swan's finger traveled down her cheek and onto her jaw, tipping her face up ever so slightly. I'm going to kiss you, Swan warned her. But Moiraine had just figured out the puzzle, too, always just behind Swan, but quick enough. She stretched up as Swan brought her head down. She'd had kisses stolen before by boys at court. That had been exciting because it was part of the game. But the kisses themselves had been lackluster, or downright disgusting. Kissing Swan was weird. She was so aware of everything, and she had so many questions. How much should she tilt her head? Where were her arms supposed to go? How long was a kiss, a real kiss, supposed to last? Her heart was pounding, and she couldn't think. And she wasn't enjoying this like she knew she was supposed to, like she wanted to. They had barely touched lips when Swan sighed and backed up, although not far. Light, Moiraine, she said, not without humor. Can you stop thinking for just 10 seconds? Moiraine looked at her, at Swan, who looked so confident, so capable, and saw beneath the bravado to the uncertainty beneath. Somehow, the idea that neither of them knew what in the light they were doing calmed Moiraine. They'd figure it out. Kiss me again, she demanded, and put her hands on Swan's shoulders. She pulled her toward her, maybe a little too enthusiastically, because Swan nearly crushed her against the door altogether before recovering. She left her hands right where they were and let herself feel. Swan's lips, Swan's body against hers. It was good. Better even once Swan put her arm around Moiraine's waist and pulled her even closer. She simply could not get close enough. She had an answer, too, for how long a real kiss should last. As long as possible. Kisses, she thought wildly, should last forever. They didn't, of course. But it turned out you could string a few of them together. Then, Swan had the best idea yet of moving back to the bed and their nest of blankets, which meant they could keep their feet warm and keep kissing. When they finally took a break, Swan sat back and Moiraine leaned against her, head tucked on her shoulder. Swan's arm was around her, fingers gently stroking up and down her arm. Swan was truly relaxed. And it was only now that Moiraine realized how tense she had been lately. She fretted about this, turning and maneuvering an arm around Swan so she was embracing her back instead of just being cradled. "Why didn't you say something?" she asked. "You didn't say anything either," Swan pointed out. "That's no answer." Moiraine shook her head. "I didn't know." Swan huffed out a breath. Yes, I figured that out tonight. She was quiet for a long moment. I was pretty sure you weren't interested in all that. in me. Moiraine heard the unspoken words. She wanted to deny them outright, but something stopped her, and she sat with them, rattling in her mind for a minute instead. Finally, she said, low and quiet, "I think if it had been anyone else, I wouldn't be." Swan took a sharp breath, then let out a long, slow exhalation, holding Moiraine a little more closely still until they both relaxed again. Moiraine fell asleep like that. She woke up in the middle of the night to find that Swan had laid them both down more comfortably. It occurred to her, maybe too late, to ask if she was sure about this, if she wanted this, if tomorrow she wanted to stop kissing Swan. She almost laughed out loud, and only the thought that she'd wake Swan kept her mirth inside. Stop kissing Swan? Never, she thought, and flushed, warm from her head to her toes, despite the chill in the room. Still, there was a part of her that worried she might not be enough for Swan in some way. Not clever enough, not demonstrative enough. No, Moiraine knew what Swan would say to that. Knew that Swan would never hesitate to defend her against her own doubts. And, deep inside herself, she found that she was proud enough to accept that, even to demand it. Well, no Aes Sedai had ever been accused of excessive humility. There were other worries. She knew that the life of an Aes Sedai wasn't always kind, and both she and Swan planned to find a calling, a purpose. What if they didn't find the same one? What if they ended up somehow divided? But as she listened to Swan's deep, even breathing, she imagined Swan reminding her they were both committed to the Tower, to becoming Aes Sedai. They both saw the realities of the White Tower dwindling, and they had never disagreed on any course of action that involved anything larger than which bed needed a few mice. Besides, Moiraine thought drowsily, they'd just become accepted a few weeks ago. They would have plenty of time, years probably, maybe decades, before anything they did mattered. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.